Okay, so we last time we saw several models, right? We noted that one model, which emerges from Toast Vote, is that the only qualification that we need in terms of the oil for the fuel for the menorah is what's clear, right? What's clear, right? That's the standard. Then we saw the Mefarshim, especially Maharal, but others as well, as the second Mishnah Brura, Maharil, the Kolbo, and the like, who based their argument on Zecher Mekta, Zecher to the Nase. Yes. Then we saw the Maharal, who thinks it's Nair versus Avuka. And then we saw the possibility that it's not just about the miracle being with the oil, but specifically Zecher LeMikdash, that you're trying to mimic the Mikdash. Yes. Right. That's what we left off on. We wanted to just prove that thesis. So if you look, for example, at Moshe Feinstein, this is what you still have printed out. If you have it, right, that Ramosha in Dibret Moshe says, "V'nira sha'atam u'mishum d'shem anzayit shehukshar l'menorah shukadish kimat shalek adab ezmanei." Now, if you have oil that is pounded, right, really pounded, in a way that's non-existent nowadays, "Shebnei adam in mishtam shemzek, people don't use it, v'haya za'asiyah miyuchad l'menorah, and they made it special menorah, we don't have it." And he says that's why the right Rabba thought there was no specialty. Now, what is he saying? Right? He's saying that maybe nowadays the reason there isn't a preference for oil is because our oil wouldn't be good for the mikdash. Now, the emphasis that he's putting is that why would olive oil be important? Not because it's zecher to the nes, but because is Zecher LeMikdash. Right? And here, right, what right Shertina put on this source sheet is just that in general, right, the idea of making institutions that are Zecher LeMikdash, we have. However, they're not always identical to the Mikdash, right? So, for example, the Gemara in Menachot Samach Vav says that Amemar mane yome velo mane shavue, that when it comes to Svirat Omer, he would count the weeks, but he would not count the days. Sorry, other way around. He would count the days and not count the weeks. Money yom lo money shuwe. And he said the reason is because Zecher LeMikdash. Now Rashi comments on that line that Amar Haimin Yana Dahashta Lav Chovahu Daleka Omer. What he's saying is that based on this, there isn't a fundamental obligation to count Svira. El Zecher LeMikdash Be'alma. It's merely a Zecher LeMikdash. Hilkoch Biyom Esage. Right now, what is Rashi saying? 19. So what is Rashi saying? That what a Zecher LeMikdash sometimes means is that we do something like the Mikdash, but we specifically do it differently. Right? Right? Meaning he's saying, nowadays it's not obligatory. We're doing a Zecher LeMikdash. How do we do a Zecher LeMikdash? By not doing a Zecher LeMikdash. Correct. But that means that we have Zecher LeMikdash, right? So we have Zecher LeMikdash, but sometimes that Zecher LeMikdash is specifically not in the way that it is. Exactly in the Beit HaMikdash, right? That it's not perfect. Now, if that's the case, right? So, meaning, you know, I won't read the rest of these sources, but what does that point to? That points to the fact that on the one hand, you might want to use olive oil, but on the other hand, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein argues, well, if it's not perfectly like the Beit HaMikdash, then it's worthless. Don't even bother with oil. Right? However, that's not necessarily true, right? Because what's Rashi saying? That something could be Zecher LeMikdash even if it's not a perfect replica. That specifically doing something that's similar to the Mikdash, but not in a perfect way, could be a way of doing it, Zecher LeMikdash. Right? You count the days and not the weeks. No, doing Zecher LeMikdash. What it means to do something Zecher LeMikdash. The Gemara says you do it in that imperfect way, Zecher LeMikdash, because it's only Zecher LeMikdash. What you see, some of Zecher LeMikdash is, okay, but if you want to look more at Zecher LeMikdash, you can look here. Yeah. Well, so in the Beit HaMikdash, you use it only with the first, right, the first drop.
Yeah, so it's the first press.
Yep. So, and now we don't do it that way. No, no. I mean, there was even more. It's only the first drop. In the Beit HaMikdash, yeah. It's like... It's like that first... Whatever. Yeah. Okay. So now if you just look, now if you skip down to 23, just to see a little bit of how this plays out. Okay, so we have these different models of why you might or might not prefer oil. So then... how does this play out for the different types of oil? So this is a little, nice little summary from the OU, right? So they say it is preferable to light the menorah with olive oil for three reasons. The light, one is that the light from olive oil is pure and clear, right? That is who? Tosfot. The oil is easily drawn to the wick, also Tosfot. And finally, perhaps most significantly, or not, but the kolbo, is on Hanukkah we commemorate the miracle of the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash that burned for 8 days. That menorah had to be lit with olive oil, right? Now that's some combination of the kolbo, right? The miracle, or Zeichel HaMikdash. Gelled olive oil, so now one nafkamina of this will be, what about gelled olive oil? Right? So gelled olive oil would not have been acceptable for use in the Beit HaMikdash. The congealed. Right? You know what I'm talking about, right? The congealed one. Because as a solid, it does not constitute olive oil, which is a biblical requirement for the menorah. As such, gelled oil should not be the preferred choice for lighting the Hanukkah menorah as well, right? So if the only issue of olive oil, if the issue of olive oil is zecher through the mikdash, right? Either zecher mikdash or zecher the nes, right? So then presumably it has to be olive oil as would be used in the mikdash, or that would have been used for the nes. However, if, right, but if olive oil, now, that you could argue, not necessarily as you say, it's zecher, but it's zecher, and therefore it has to be just similar. So that would be one defense, right? And obviously, if you took Tosfot and just think the only issue at hand is clarity, so then the gelled olive oil is actually clearer and more consistent than the liquid stuff, right? So there, nevertheless, Rav Vosner maintains that olive oil may be used, congealed olive oil may be used lechatchila for Hanukkah since it melts and becomes oil almost as soon as the candle is lit. Now, furthermore, right, if it's, so you could argue, right, it wouldn't be for the Beit HaMikdash, right? Right, so he says, though gelled oil would not be used in the Beit HaMikdash, it's adequately similar to liquid olive oil and maybe used for Hanukkah. Rav Nissim Karelitz disagrees and Lesman maintains that the preferred oil for Hanukkah is limited to oil that was kosher from the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash, right? And you see this tension playing out, where on the one hand, if you mamish think it's zecher to the mikdash, so then you would say, you can't use it to the mikdash. But if you say, look, it's zecher to the nes, so then you'd say, yes, in the Beit HaMikdash they wouldn't have used it. But within a minute, it's going to be liquid. And therefore, it's going to look like the miracle, right? Right. So if you think that it mamish has to mimic the Beit HaMikdash, then obviously if it's not kosher in the Beit HaMikdash, you can't use it. But if you say, no, maybe it's zecher to the nes. And look, yes, when I light it, it's not the type they could have used for the nes. But like within a minute, it's going to melt down as oil, right? Or you say, it's zecher to the mikdash. I mean, it's not identical to the mikdash, but like, okay, we want to be in the right ballpark, but it can obviously be a little bit different. Meaning, start with the fact that it has 8 branches and not 7. Right? Meaning you can say it's zecher to the mikdash, but it's specifically not identical. Right? So if you want to go in that direction, then obviously, gelled olive oil is potentially, right, is potentially a good option. Because even though it's not used in the Beit HaMikdash, it's not like, it's still closer in that sense than a candle because, you know, by time it melts down, it will be. Yeah, right? No, I think no, whether it's ideal, right? Whether it hits the ideal, right? Rather, it's for preferred.
Whether or not you should make the effort.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if people want preferable, they want to know, right? Meaning, look, I think most people... But people who are trying to get the most preferred, people who are not asking you, is it kosher? They're asking you, I want to do it in the best way. Is this the best way, right? I'm machmir to use oil. Is this, right? Is this oil, right? Is this the best oil, right? So it matters, right? You'll say, but the evidence is obviously fine, right? We did this. No, we saw the Mefarshim. No. Um, Right now, I'll be honest, if you look at Rav Vosner, Rav Vosner himself just says, yeah, the reason that it's better is because, like, he says, right, meaning he explicitly says that if it's about clarity, then obviously it's fine. If it's Domet to the Mikdash, you might say no, but then he says maybe not. Why? And this is what we were saying before, that maybe it's Zechel Mikdash, but not Mamash the Mikdash. And he says, Nir dafilu devrayim pashutenos im dimayon shalem mamash. Even if you think it's like the Mikdash, it doesn't have to be exactly like the Mikdash. Right? Right? It's just not, right? So therefore, you could say that the fact that you would be allowed to use this, even lechatchila lechatchila, means that even the theoretical best option is what? Is still not identical to the Mikdash, right? It's similar to the Nes, right? Meaning the lechatchila is to approach the Nes more closely. Not necessarily to right? And again, the best proof of that is simply going to be the fact that we have 8 instead of 7, and we don't do 7 every night, which obviously in the Mikdash you do, right? This is not perfectly matching the Mikdash, obviously. No. That's fine. The fact that we don't even, that our menorah doesn't mimic the one in the Beit HaMikdash fully, right? We don't, the Mikdash is just 7 every day. We have, right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We never, right?
Do we do that like simply to incorporate both say Phil Mikdash and Lanes?
No, we do that because, well, counting up the day, whatever, right, as Beis Hillel said, Malam Bekodesh Shel Meriden, and parallel to the days, which obviously brings the Nes and Hanukkah into the discussion much more than Mikdash. Right? I mean, that's just obvious. And the next one here they put, as previously noted, olive oil is the preferred choice for Hanukkah menorah. Again, maybe. A primary reason is because we were commemorating a miracle that occurred in the Beit HaMikdash, and only olive oil was acceptable for use in the menorah. The Gemara, there are so many typos in this. It's unbelievable. I did not. This is copied and pasted from the OU's website, and there's typos. The Tshuva in Rav Vosner was wrong. It's in Chilek Tet, Kuf Mem Gimel. And this Gemara, I didn't even look it up, and I know they're 20 daf off, right? It's 66, not 86. The Gemara describes the process of which oil... Oh, actually, no, maybe it's not. Oh, no, this is not the one we were looking at, which was the Zeichel HaMikdash. This is about the oil. It's actually not wrong. The Gemara describes the process by which the oil was... I mean, the quote from Rav Vosner was wrong, but that happens. The Gemara describes the process by which oil was produced for the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash. It was cold-pressed, unrefined, and uncooked. Since the miracle of Beit HaMikdash occurred with unrefined, cold-pressed olive oil, it stands to reason that the oil used for Hanukkah candles should also be cold-pressed and unrefined. In a practical level, Rabbi Eliashiv noted this means that the Hanukkah light should be lit with virgin or extra virgin olive oil exclusively, as other grades of olive oil, such as pure light and pomace, are all refined with the heating process. By the same token, it's preferable to use edible olive oil for the Hanukkah candles, as inedible olive oil could not be used for the Beit HaMikdash. If only cooked olive oil or inedible olive oil are available, Riyajiv rules that the cooked olive oil takes precedence over inedible oil. Cooked olive oil, albeit it could not be used for the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash. In contrast, olive oil, which is not edible, loses its identity and is not treated as olive oil. Right. So again, you see that there are gradations to this. Okay. I think it's fine. I think it's totally fine. Nah, I think it's fine. Yeah. I mean, I use the one for lighting, but you really don't have to. Yes. What? Yeah. Oh, no. I just leave it year to year. I just put it away with my menorahs.
I'm gonna get two of the eight of the small bottles of Maccabee and one larger bottle of Maccabee, the beer.
And we use the bottles with glass cups. So I have a tall silver one. So no.
I'm telling you, I'm here.
Yes, but when I left Toronto, they got me a present of a beautiful silver menorah.
Yes, there, and I'm not there.
Yes, they gave it to me because I was married.
No, what I'm saying is you were married, which means that you were more settled, which means that...
Oh, yes, I have a house, and I put it by my house. Correct. When I was in yeshiva, I also did not use a very expensive silver menorah. I used the disposable ones, which are great. They're gishmak. What are you talking about? The disposable oil menorahs. The disposable, those are the best, because, like, those are amazing. Because no, because they're like 20 shekel, and they come with new glasses every year, so you don't have to go and buy more glasses. They just come with the glasses. They come with the wicks. The whole thing costs 20 shekel. Yalla, throw it out. I'm very glad. I'm very proud of you. I didn't. And chatai ani maskir hayom. I have many sins, many, many sins. I didn't use a beautiful silver menorah in yeshiva or YU. Okay. Clearly, that's the point. Yes. Oh, I'm a hadr the mitzvah. I use ones from kids made out of macaroni. Oh, yeah.
Macaroni.
No, in Israel they make it out of tile. They ask all the kids to bring in tile because everyone has extra tile around their house. Tile. Everything's tile. We don't do wood. The whole country doesn't do wood. We also don't do walls. It's concrete. Because we don't have A, forests everywhere, right? B, it's a very hot country. You don't want things that are flammable. Oh. Yes, correct. So you freeze to death. What's the problem?
Light a menorah.
I'm sorry. So you'll be cold. You live in Modi'in. Grow up. Okay. Yalla. Okay, so then I said that the next thing I wanted to talk about is, if you want to really flesh out the topic, is to deal with the question of electricity, right? Electric lights, okay? Now, I do not want to go down the entire sugya of whether electricity is fire. I will quickly summarize it for you very, 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 very quickly. But then I want to talk about how the issues that we've been talking about in terms of mimicking the mikdash and the nays and the stuff like that manifest themselves specifically in menorah, though we started late, so maybe I have to carry this over one more time, and you apparently are still complaining about reading Rav Avadia. Would you like me to break it up into paragraphs? You want me to just go and press enter? So very quickly, okay? There is, first of all, there's really two questions you have to deal with here, okay? There's a few questions you have to deal with. One is an incandescent light bulb, let's stick with incandescent for now, is it ash? Right? Is it fire? You're getting to enough, Kamina. Please, can we start with the fundamental principles? Is it ash? So, no, it doesn't. Wait, is it ash? So this is not totally clear, right? The Rambam assumes that what? The Rambam assumes that a gachelet shel matechet, that if you light a piece of metal till it's red hot on Shabbat, it is mavir, and therefore it's aish, right? Now the Ravid also thinks that it's a d'oraita, but which malacha does he put it under? Mevashel, right? He thinks that it's usher to heat up a metal filament until it's red hot because it's considered cooking, not because it's considered fire. You're cooking metal. No, it doesn't. That's just wrong. Correct. The original case is dyes. So the paradigm is dyes. The paradigm is the dyes. So no, edible has nothing to do with it. So right off the bat, right, the questions by Shabbat, right, even though both the Rambam and the Ravid agree that heating up metal till it's red hot is nisra malacha, the Rambam says it's havara, which tells you that it's eish. The Ravid tells you it's mavashel, which tells you that it is not ash, right? It's cooking, and therefore it is not ash.
According to the Rabbit, from the Bashal, you don't even need to fundamentally change it by heat. It just needs to get really, really hot.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Correct. Now, so one question is going to be, is it ash? But there's another question. Why is there another question? And this comes to Kobe's question about Havdalah is that it's not just, right, you got, and you guys should know this from Bedika, right, is that in addition to the question of whether it is Aish, what else do you need to figure out? Is it an air? Right? It could be Aish and not an air. Right? It could be fire but not a candle.
Well,
right? It could be, so for example, it could be an avuka. Right? It could be considered a torch. And a torch would not be kosher. Right? What other factors do you think go into the question of whether you can use an electric light? I'm not assuming anything. I'm just saying that you definitely need a nair. But I had luck at Nerot Hanukkah, and you can't use an avuka. It might not be the same thing, but but there's also an invalidation of avuka, right? So one second. So the questions you're going to ask are what? First, you need to ask whether, let's assume an incandescent light bulb is Aish. Even if it's Aish, is it a nair? Right? Yes? That's going to be question two. Question three is going to be, even if it's a nair, is there a problem with the fact that it's covered by glass? Right? That's correct, but the flame itself is not covered, right? Does that change it? I'm not telling you yes or no. I'm saying, is it, right? That's a factor that you're going to have to deal with, right? I'm just telling you what the post can deal with, right? Is first they deal with the question of, is it Aish? Then they deal with the question of, it is Aish, is it an air? Even if it's an air, is it a blocked nair, right? Then they have another set of questions, which is related to what we talked about, which is even if it's an Aish, and even if it's a nair, is there a problem with the fact that it's not a nair hadome to the nair in the Mikdash, right? Again, but you understand, this is why I said this is relevant, right? Because the next, could that, correct, that would potentially only make it less mahadran, right? I just said incandescent for a reason. But I said incandescent for a reason. But you're not listening to me. I said incandescent for a reason. Because LED is definitely not fire. And that's why I said incandescent. No, I said that very explicitly 5 times. Explicitly to do that. I said it on purpose. Right? The answer is that LED is almost definitely not okay because LED is not fire. No, I do make mistakes, but in this case, I was pretty sure I said, let us say incandescent. I meant that on purpose. It's not a wrench. It just doesn't work, right? It's not a wrench, right? That's another problem. Then the postgame have an interesting question that if it is in order to make it an air, some postgame have a suggestion that a nair must not be continuous. Correct. Well, not forever, but, you know, basically, it's meaning some postgame suggest that the definition of a nair, not necessarily as opposed to an avuka, but a nair as opposed to something else, right, is something where it has contained fuel, right? Now, for this reason, Rav Shlomo Zalman came up with a very clever, right? Rav Shlomo Zalman has a very clever suggestion, which is that there's a difference between a plugged-in one and a flashlight. A battery, correct. Correct. And there's a well-known talk by Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that we'll get to, but I'm jumping the gun here, right, that if you have no choice but to rely on an electric light, what you should rely on is an incandescent battery-powered flashlight.
Alternative.
Not when he was writing, there wasn't. Now, in a Hanami. But I had a friend who wanted to do this because he was on a plane, right, and he's a Talmud from Nevensal, right, or Nevensal is his posek, and he asked from Nevensal, Nevensal told him, is that, right, in addition to maybe having a shliach light for you at home, right, what you should do is the 1900s. Yeah. You could also buy, Somet sells that, like, these little, like, lamp-looking things that are, like, mini candle-looking things. Yes, in order to be yotzei these positions. No, they do it specifically to be yotzei positions like this. So that's another factor. Guys, one second. That's another factor. And then there's a whole other set of factors, which is, even if you assume that it's Asian, even if you assume it's an air, right, there's a different problem, which is, what do you need to be yotzei the mitzvah of hadlakat ner Chanukah? No, hadlakat ner Chanukah, listen to my words. Ah, yes, in addition to a ner Chanukah, You need Hadlaka Ner Chanukah. So there's a whole set of poskim who say that their problem with electric lights is not the flame that emerges at the end, but is...
You only light it by flipping a switch.
Is correct. Is that, can you view turning on an electric light as a Maisa Hadlaka? And therefore, right, so the poskim, when they discuss electric lights, right, they first deal with the question of whether it's Aish. Then they deal with the question of even if it's an Aish, is it a Nair? Right? And then they deal with the question, even if it is an Aish, and it's a Nair, right? So then you have the Lechatchila B'dievid question of, is it a Nair Adomet to the Mikdash? And then they say, okay, but even if you solve all those questions, maybe it's a Nair, and maybe you don't need something Adomet to the Mikdash, but there's no Maisa Hadlaka, right? It's not considered lighting. It may be lit by the end, but you didn't light it. Right? And therefore, some of the poskim oppose it on that ground. Right? Now, you can see that right off the bat, and then I'll take Mordechai's question, that this question is insanely complicated because, A, it assumes a full discussion of the definition of electric lights in general. B, it assumes that you know the definition of Nair in all places in Torah, right? And then C, it requires you to have a very strong understanding of the definition of a ma'aseh, right? What is considered an action and what is not considered action or considered grumma, right? Indirect action in Kala Torah Kula. And only once you get through all of that, then you need to have a localized understanding of the requirements of the unique requirements of Hanukkah candles, of how much do they have to be done with the Mikdash. And even if you think they don't have to be done with the Mikdash, is this like so egregiously not done with the Mikdash that it's somehow worse, right? Which again might come to the fact that it's not a Nair, even if it's Aish, right? So you can see why I don't want to get into the full sugya, because, you know, if we get into the full sugya, we will first have to adjudicate every Shaila and Hilchos Shabbos, and then we'll have to deal with every Shaila and Hilchos Grama, right? And yes, then we'll have to fully get into the definition of Nair for B'dikas Chametz, and the definition of Nair versus Avuka for Hadlakas, Neiros, for the Avdala. And then you have to deal with the status on Friday night. And what is the definition of them? And I do not want to go down that. Oh, well, do Shabbos candles need Nair? Do they only need Or? Oh, right. Each area of halacha you're going to need to weigh the different definitions. That's why I don't want to get into it. But I thought we would have more time today, honestly. But I do think it's important to at least touch on these issues briefly, because it really does get to the heart of these questions, right? Right, and it sharpens very much the definition of these terms. Yeah, Mordechai, what do you want to say?
So I'm going to be assuming a couple of things to ask the question, like that electricity is Aish.
Okay, you're going to assume, one, that electricity is Aish. Fine. Okay, that's not crazy. The Rambam.
And that a light bulb would be a Nair because it's one wire going all the way through.
Okay, right. So you want to say that a one filament bulb is a one filament bulb. And you assume it's Nair versus Avuka. Okay, you're making three assumptions. They're great. Right.
So
now that we've assumed three of the major answers to the question,
like,
we just...
I'm jumping in the middle, but I'm keeping track. So light bulbs, unfortunately, aren't built to last forever. They could if you run...
I understand.
So I want to know if...
You're asking if Rishon Zalman? So probably not, right? Rishon Zalman's argument, as it's quoted...
Does it need a draw fuel?
Yeah, meaning it's not just that it needs... Right, meaning it's that it... Right, it's that... It's not just that it needs to have an end. It's that the fuel needs to be contained, right? Like, within the object, right? Like, for him, that's part of the definition of a Nair. I mean, if you think that it's Aish, then yes. The battery is running out. I understand that there's some, I don't know what the right word is. It's not metaphorical, but, metaphorical isn't the word I'm looking for, but analogical, right? There's analogical thinking going on. That's probably the right word, right?
Maybe.
Like an analog. Analogical thinking, right? Like it's not metaphorical, right? Let's see, what's the definition of analogical thinking? I would think so. Analogical. Yeah, I mean, it's just comparing. Yeah, meaning it's a type of thinking that relies on analogy. Yeah, I guess it's sort of analogical. Okay, I don't know if that's the right word. Okay. Great. Okay, guys. So, okay, right. So those are the questions you're going to have to answer in addition to the ones we've talked about in terms of candles if you want to get towards electric lights, right? Yes? So, okay, look. Obviously, unless you're on an airplane, right, you're not usually stuck in this circumstance. But, A, it's an important question because, first of all, it's not only an airplane, right? There could be other circumstances. You could be in a hotel that doesn't allow fire. You could be in a hotel. Yeah.
Or another.
But you're not allowed to light them. You have to light your room.
I was in a hospital in China.
Right, right. Hospitals, right? I mean, there are other kids. It's not just an airplane. It could be hospitals. It could be hotel rooms. And obviously, there's also, at some level, the question that lurks in the background, which is, how hard do you have to push? You know, let's say you have the ability to push. How hard should you be pushing for, let's say, a traditional Jew who wants to acknowledge Hanukkah by lighting their little electric menorah, right? But they're, you know, they're not Shomer Torah Mitzvah. They're not saying listen to fire. Right, I mean, maybe if you pushed and pushed and pushed, right, you could do it. But if you think that even b'diavad, right, there's value to this, so then you could say, oh, look, that's really nice that they are. And it, for sure, if they're making a bracha, right, so if you think there's a way of defending it, lahalacha, right, so you would say, look, I'm not going to fight it. Let me celebrate it. Let me not make a big deal. Maybe it's not ideal. Maybe it is, whatever, right? Meaning there, so I don't think your statement is right that this is only an issue on a plane. Obviously it is, but A, there's other issues, there's other cases in which it you could be stuck, and the reality is that not everybody is so committed to halacha that they're gonna be so thrilled to use fire. Well, yeah, I mean those are LED, like the LED ones or whatever. So that's going to be obviously much more problematic because they're not Aish. Not really. Look, LED, there isn't filament at all. Right? By definition, there's an LED. Light emitting diode. LED. Though, despite the fact that it actually stands for something, light emitting diode, in Hebrew Svarim, if you're ever looking for it, they will say, Nurot LED. What? Nurot LED. Nurot is light bulb. LED. LED. Lamed Dalid. LED. 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 So if you did not realize that it is light emitting diode, you would have no idea what's going on, right? Because they will just do Nurot LED. Rav Asher Weiss, just to make it easier, puts Nurot LED parentheses LED. Right? But yes, in a lot of Hebrew ones, they just call it Nurot LED and you assume that you're supposed to know it. And
lead, just a block of lead being heated up.
What do you mean? It's use the Nurot LED to see your back axle kidney. You know, we have Hebrew, weird things in Hebrew, if you didn't catch that. You called that? No, I said back axle kidney. So in Hebrew, the back axle of your car is just called the back axle. But the front axle of your car is called the back axle kidney, which is the front back axle. No, it makes zero sense. But sometimes these things get lost in translation from English. So LED is one of those where it's not a word, LED. It is light emitting diode, and then in Hebrew it became LED. LED, Nurot LED. Yeah. Okay, well, I guess we are a little bit over time of where I thought we would be. So I guess let's do one more day on this on Monday. Try not to be overwhelmed by it. Try to actually look at the card I sent you, right? Because, look,